superstars, and welcome to CNN 10. Coy is on vacation this week. I'm Isabel Rosales, filling in for the big man, and I'm so excited to be here to share the best 10 minutes of news in this Summer Friday edition. Let's get started. We begin today in the Middle East, where it has been one full week since Israel launched an unprecedented offensive attack on Iran. The Israeli operation launched heavy airstrikes against Iran's nuclear program and military leadership. The goal is to stop what Israel called Iran's progress in developing nuclear weapons. Iran struck back soon after, launching, quote, hundreds of ballistic missiles, and what state media said was part of a, quote, crushing response. Israeli Emergency Services says dozens of people were injured in those strikes. Since then, the two countries have continued to trade attacks. As of this taping, Iran's latest wave of airstrikes damaged a hospital in southern Israel, plus several high-rise buildings east of Tel Aviv. In Iran, dozens of Israeli fighter jets struck a nuclear facility southwest of Tehran during a series of nighttime raids. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed that his country's operation would continue to target Iran's nuclear program. But Iran insists its nuclear program is peaceful. So which is it? Our Tom Foreman breaks down what we know so far.
For decades, Iranian leaders have been building a nuclear program, which they say is for research and to generate electricity. Indeed, just days ago, Iranian leadership reiterated they have no intention of building a nuke. But intelligence and military analysts say Iran has long been stockpiling refined uranium, developing more powerful missiles, and mining the technical knowledge of allies, including Russia, with hopes of someday becoming the world's 10th nuclear-armed nation.
The Iranians are definitely much closer than they were 5 or 10 years ago, and it is certainly true that they've gotten a lot closer to deploying a weapon of this type than they were even a year or two ago.
How big would an Iranian nuke be? Some analysts suspect it would pack about two-thirds of the explosive power of some bombs developed by the U.S. in the 1940s and 50s. U.S. intelligence predicts a viable weapon could still be years away, but the Israelis argue it might come much quicker.
We decided to act because we saw enough uranium, enriched uranium, for 9 bombs, and all they had to do was weaponize them.
Netanyahu did not offer specific evidence. The Israelis have made such claims before.
Right here.
And the complete equation is more complicated. Any Iranian nuke would have to be miniaturized enough to be carried by a missile, plane, or other delivery mechanism. It would need to evade Israel's robust detection and defense systems. And it would have to work. But if just one made it through,
it could obliterate a large portion of a major city. It could make a port unusable.
It could cripple communications, shut down electricity, and poison the land with radioactive fallout. And so far, plenty of analysts note, a lot of Iran's nuclear infrastructure is deep in the ground where Israeli bombs can't reach it.
Right now, Iran, if they were left alone, could reconstitute their program very quickly.
Again, the Iranians say they have no plans to produce a nuclear weapon, even as the Israelis say they just can't take their word on that, can't afford to be wrong about the nuclear aspirations of their old foe, not even once.
Now to a fascinating inside look at artificial intelligence and deepfakes, a manufactured video of a person in which their face or body has been digitally altered. Now, the term deepfake comes from AI deep learning technology. And fake, obviously addressing that the content is not real. And as artificial intelligence gets better at creating more realistic deepfakes, the technology to detect them is not keeping pace with what is real and what is not. Now, I got to speak with a cybersecurity expert who showed me how this technology can fool deepfake detectors and what you can do to protect yourself. Watch. It's Isabel from CNN. I've just launched a new newsletter on how to get 10x returns on your crypto investments. Just click on the link.
That sounds like my voice. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was within a few minutes.
Deepfake technology is getting faster, cheaper, and more realistic.
Land in Louisville, Kentucky. It killed 2 in public figures that are so real, even they can't tell the difference.
Making it easier than ever to create scams or spread misinformation.
I was using just websites that had like a window would let me upload your video that I wanted to clone, upload the audio that I had created, and it would just mash those together. It used to take a lot of time. Now it's really mere curiosity and a little bit of persistence.
AI companies have created deepfake detectors, but this cybersecurity expert says they have serious limitations.
Anyone that promises that one-click type of answer is wrong. I can upload things that I know are deepfakes because I made them, and they'll say that they're likely authentic. Maybe their hearts are in the right place, but I think that it has the very real potential of creating a false sense of security.
As a test, Carpenter ran my deepfake video through a detector that used several different models.
One of them said it was 56% suspicious. All the other ones, though, said no deepfake detector.
They're saying that it's in the green, no deepfake detected, and then one that's 56% suspicious. What does that even mean?
Then we tried a different detector, this time using only my AI-generated voice.
Yeah, probability 98% that it was generated.
So it caught it.
Yep, so it caught it, which is exactly what you would hope for. And then I'm going to add all the sound effects and everything else that's going to contribute to the story. These sounds are like the interior car sounds. So here's one of them. And you get probability 5.3.
Same audio clip that was 100% AI generated, but you added some ambiance to it, and now it fooled it, and it thinks it's real.
I think somebody that's not thinking about this with nuance would go, oh, it's probably real.
Yeah, and that took no effort. Deepfakes are getting better and better, more believable, and the tools that maybe I thought would help me figure it out may not be so helpful.
It's not necessarily as hopeless as it might appear on the face of it. There's security practices that have been around for decades, if not hundreds of, or thousands of years. If we have set up some kind of code word, I can ask you that. It's simple human things like that that we're going to be able to use until the technology catches up.
10-second trivia. In the sport of hockey, what is it called when a player scores 3 goals in one game? Is it hat trick, power play, triple play, or shutout? If you said hat trick, well, hats off to you. Originating in the sport of cricket, it gained popularity when fans would collect money to buy the player who scored 3 points an actual hat to commemorate the achievement. The Florida Panthers have just won the Stanley Cup for the 2nd time in a row. Back-to-back crowns have both come at the expense of the Oilers, this time in 6 games. And Coy got a chance to go toe-to-toe with the Stanley Cup itself. It is one of the most unique trophies in all of sports, named after Lord Stanley of Preston of the late 1800s, and it has some wild traditions. Take a look.
The Stanley Cup, one of the coolest trophies in all of sports, in part because of the wild traditions, like the players avoiding it like the plague before winning it. They think if they touch it, they'll be cursed. But once they do win it, each player gets to take it for a full day and do whatever they want with it. This thing has been found at the bottom of swimming pools. It's been left on the side of the road. In 87, Mark Messier of Edmonton took it clubbing. The Rangers in 94, they took it to the Kentucky Derby, fed the winner Gopher Gin out of the cup. And Chris Draper in Detroit in 08 put his baby daughter in it. Baby daughter accidentally turned it into a potty. That stinks.
The Kraft Heinz company just announced that it plans to remove all artificial colors from its foods within 2 years. The maker of Kraft mac and cheese, Heinz ketchup, Jell-O, and Lunchables also says that it will not release any new foods in the U.S. that contain artificial dyes. Several states have banned these dyes, and Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has pushed companies to get rid of them. This summer, we've been sharing awesome advice from graduation speakers at universities nationwide. And today, we get a few words of wisdom from comedian and actor Steve Carell. Now, you may, of course, recognize him as the voice of Gru in the Despicable Me franchise, or as Michael Scott from The Office. He took to the lectern at Northwestern University, and let's just say he makes a couple of laughs with life lessons by reminding graduates that real strength is not about being loud or tough. It's about treating people with care and respect.
My topic this morning is kindness. So please just shut up and listen. I am kind. Or at least that seems to be a common misconception about me. Remember, the kindness isn't a weakness. It is a very potent strength. The best way to see and understand another human being is to listen to them. To listen is to show respect.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a real-life example of one man's trash is another man's treasure. A scrapyard sorter in Missouri started his day just like any other when he spotted a glint of gold and purple that wasn't scrap metal at all. In fact, it was a Purple Heart medal. That is the highest honor given to soldiers who are hurt or killed in war.
The purple stood out the most. It stood out like a sore thumb.
We get coins through this thing because, you know, cars have coins in them. And they're unrecognizable. I mean, quarters are bent in half. And this thing's completely whole. The ribbon's still on.
After a lot of detective work and a little help from Ancestry.com, the scrapyard found the medal belonged to World War II veteran Charles Joseph Hall, who earned it back in 1944.
He enlisted right out of high school and wanted to be a paratrooper, but they moved him to infantry and then went to Europe and was killed 6 months later.
His family hadn't seen it in years, but to honor the veteran, Scrap Mart didn't just hand the medal over. They actually flew the family to San Diego to their national convention to honor the care and respect of their employee and the sacrifice of a nation's hero. All right, superstars, time for the best part of the day. This week's shout-outs are going to Platte Valley Academy in Greeley, Colorado. Thank you for watching during your summer program. And to Mrs. Gallagher at Olympic View Middle School in Mukilteo, Washington. Happy last day of school. And thanks again for tuning in this week. Koi will be back from vacation soon, so be sure to check us out again next Friday. And of course, have a wonderful weekend. We are CNN 10.